You're listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network, and this is the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show with your host, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock.
Hello, everybody, and today we're doing part two of a show entitled Mind Control and the New Age. And my good friend and longtime collaborator, well, he does most of the work on these shows, I must admit, Dr. Eric Karlstrom is with me. So, Eric, are you with me today?
Yeah, hello, Andy. Good to be back with you on this very interesting subject.
Yes, well, I mean, we had a little chat after we recorded part one of this show, and I think this will come as a shock to a few listeners, but many, many years ago, and I only went probably a handful of times, I don't know if I could count them on the fingers of one hand, never mind two, I went to a couple of spiritualist churches, and this was sort of, you know, over 20 years ago, and it was, you know, something that I might pop down there. It's interesting. It was nearby. And it would have been 1999, about July 1999. And I went to this spiritualist church, and you have like a service in the evening. And they still sing hymns and stuff like that. But then they have a medium on, and the medium will go to different people. Can you take this name? Can you take that name? And what have you. And there was some woman there who was the medium, and she came over to me, or pointed me out, and she said a few things. And she said, oh, you're going to be starting a new job within a month. And I was like, okay. Well, I knew that was nonsense, because I had to give a month's notice at the job that I was in. And she said, and your new manager will be Morris or Morrison or Harris or Harrison. I was like, okay, you know. Anyway, what happened was about a week later, they laid a load of people off where I was working, and I was one of them. And I contacted a firm that I'd worked for before for a reference, you know, because I'd applied to another firm that did a similar line of insurance. And so I specifically wanted a reference from them to demonstrate that I was skilled in that area, because it was quite a niche market. And they subsequently said, look, can you come in? We'd like to talk to you about offering you a position. I ended up taking the position, and although my manager's surname was not one of those names, on the first couple of days I was being managed by a lady with the surname of Morrison. And that's something that's always stayed with me, because that's not mediumship, you know, contacting some, it wasn't some long lost soul from the dead or something like that. That's clairvoyancy, that's looking into the future and being able to see things. After that, this lady, she asked for my number. She says, look, I've got to speak to you. There's so many things in your future and what have you. And she phoned up once, and I just didn't phone back. And I was nervous, because this had happened. I was like, you know, it freaked me out. You know what I mean? And I then knew someone who went to the church. I said, look, can you mention to someone at the church just to give her a call and say not to worry about phoning me, because I'm a bit, you know, a bit creeped out by it, really. And they went to the church, and they said, well, the funny thing is, this woman wasn't the actual scheduled medium for that day, but the scheduled medium couldn't make it at the last minute, and she said she could do mediumship, and they don't even know who she is. So there's your story, folks. It's very, very bizarre. And I just want to say that for anybody who's going to start accusing me of heresy or what have you based upon what I just told you, I wrote about mediumship in my book In the Name of Yahweh, which was published in 2011 initially. And this is what I wrote. Mediums and spiritualist churches are fascinating, aren't they? Almost everyone knows someone who knows someone who knows someone who got in touch with a loved one who had died. That deceased loved one then told the person through a medium things that loved one could only have known, so spiritualism must have some validity, mustn't it? Well, let's examine the evidence. Have you ever heard of a spirit praising Yahweh or Jesus Christ? For new listeners, Yahweh is what I regard as the true name of God. Have you ever heard of a spirit that named the people who are secretly running the world for their own personal profit so they can be exposed and brought to justice? Have you ever heard of a spirit that offered a cure for any disease? Have you ever heard of a spirit who warned of an impending natural disaster or terrorist attack? I certainly haven't, although I have heard of those that send love from the other side and do so want everything to be peaceful and wonderful, without advising how this can be achieved, of course. I do believe that spirits exist. They are demonic entities that pretend to be people who they are not in order to deceive people struggling with bereavement, in the same way Alcoholics Anonymous deceives people struggling with addiction. There are many satanic people, entities and societies in this world, and they all have the same purpose, to direct Israel, which is, I believe, the white race, away from Yahweh, in the same way Satan directed Eve away from Yahweh, in the words of the Mossad motto, by way of deception. So that was just the piece I put on it in my book. But Eric, firstly, this program is called Mind Control and the New Age, and how did you identify that experience that I had as being something you think would fit into today's show?
Well, you know, we are in a bizarre world here, and certainly it's not the world that I was trained to be an expert in. I taught 30 years of physical geography at three universities and retired in 2011, but I retired to a small community called Crestone, Colorado, which only has 1,500 people, but is kind of a United Nations of religions, including traditional religions and many New Age religions. And turns out that the guy who organized that reality is a guy named Maurice Strong, who was probably the most powerful advisor in the UN structure for some 4 or 5 decades, and a close confidant and collaborator with the Rothschild and Rockefeller families. And he is the guy who founded, who was the Secretary General of the Rio Earth Summit of 1992, and then the Rio Plus 20 conference in 2012, and then also the 1972 Stockholm environmental conference. So he's been dubbed Captain Planet, savior of the earth, and all kinds of things, which is interesting because he's a billionaire who's made his money in gas and oil and water and resources. So I was very attracted to this little community. I moved there, built a house there in 2001. And so when I retired in 2011, I still had lots of energy, and I had the skills of a researcher, having been a professor for 30 years. And so I decided I'd like to answer the question, is Crestone Baca, Colorado, the quote, Vatican City of the New World Order, an expose of the New World Religion? And we've talked about that in two previous shows. And I've got a series of articles on this on my 911nwo.com website, under New World Religion, ? And I've got many of these same articles on my gang stalking mindcontrolcults.com website. So in coming to grips with the reality of what perhaps is really going on in Crestone, Colorado, is a beautiful little mountain town in southern Colorado at the base of 5 14,000-foot peaks, I embarked on this research project, which has taken, 5 6 years. And, it's got 12 parts and 51 appendices. And I suppose if I were to, Xerox it off now, it'd probably be close to 2,000 pages, single spaced, 8 by 11.5 pages. So, but this is a vast topic. And the parts that are particularly relevant to our topic today are mind control, part 6, mind control, history and applications. It took me a year to write that. Part 7, electronic mind control and electronic weapons. Part 8, cult connections, and part 9, from UFO cults to 9/11. The title of part 9 is quite interesting, maybe worth stating here. It's called Cults and Timelines, from the Jewish Kabbalah to John Dee, Sir John Dee, the advisor to Queen Elizabeth in the 16th century, to Freemasonry, to British psychiatry and intelligence, to the Church of Scientology, from Urantia to, quote, Voices of God and the 9/11 cover-up. So, again, very bizarre. We start to see all kinds of threads running through here. But the dominant threads, it seems, are actually what you just said. In spiritism, demons or spirits are summoned. it seems. And this is an age-old practice. Certainly John Dee did this, and many other spiritualists have done this over the centuries and millennia. They summon spirits. It's called theurgy. And then they have a series of secret societies where they graduate up through degrees and to higher stages of quote unquote enlightenment. And this would be true, you know, of groups like the Bavarian Illuminati, et cetera, and many others, you know, the Masons, the Rosicrucians, et cetera. And then these people are so connected in the higher levels of society that you actually, the society takes on the characteristics of what's called a synarchy, or a rule by secret societies. And I would argue that this maybe is kind of what we have in the world right now. It's a rule by secret societies. And we need to find out who those societies are, who those individuals are, and what it is that they do and what it is that they believe. And it is towards this end that, of course, that I started writing and researching this topic. So, yes, I think your story fits in because we're dealing with realities which are, as you say, quite bizarre and difficult to understand. If you don't mind, Andy, I'll tell a little story, too. This happened to me in 2003, before I embarked on this career when I was still a professor. I was visiting a friend in Arizona, in Sedona, which is kind of one of the other New Age capitals of the United States and the world. And some friends wanted to go to a church service on Sunday morning. And the Sunday morning service was being conducted in a great big pyramid church in Sedona, and by the Society of Ageless Wisdom was the name of the group. And there was a small gray bearded, I guess you'd call him minister, who was pacing back and forth in the church, and the congregation would chant in a monotone voice. And we chanted the great invocation, which of course is the New Age invocation. And he was talking about the teachings of the Tibetan, and he was talking about all over the world right now, people are taking, you know, courses at night, and they're graduating up through various initiations to higher and higher levels. And it was about two-thirds of the way through the sermon, I guess you'd call it, that I realized that these people were worshiping Lucifer. And the great invocation was to Lucifer to come. Take over the world, because we're preparing, you know, for that. And so at that point, I got up and left, you know. And but meanwhile, there were probably about 40 or 50 people, roughly my age or a little older then, who stayed and you know, evidently did this regularly. So I think that, you know, what we're really talking about is a vast network of people that do actually worship Lucifer. And that's the master cult, and you've written a book about it. so this is a topic that you and I overlap on tremendously. But what's remarkable about it is how complex it is, and how useful this is, these realities are for manipulating societies and for manipulating culture and people. That said, I guess we can jump in. Do you have any comments at that point, Andy?
Well, I think that the thing about that experience, and that's very interesting, thank you for sharing your experience, and I think what worries me is it almost, with something like that, it's almost as if our lives are predetermined, and so our path is already, you know, it's like we're put on a, you know, we're a scale electrics car, put on a scale electrics track, and we're going to go the direction that's already been pre-planned. If someone is able to tap into something with such accuracy that had so many areas that it couldn't possibly work out, i.e. I had to give a month's notice, and, you know, and the fact to have a choice of four names, and okay, these names aren't the most obscure surnames in the world, but to actually get one of them, and I'd be working there within a period of time where I actually had to give my notice period at work. And if it was a case of someone, you know, telling me something from my past, something like that, I wouldn't be so worried, because you could almost say, well, they could guess this and what have you. But it's the way that they were so accurate about something in my future that was, you know, a bit of a peculiar event. And that was what's always kind of haunted me from that time, is that are our lives predetermined, and do some people have the clairvoyancy skills to be able to tap into, you know, the what do you call it, the timeline of our life, and then be able to say, right, let's look into his timeline in a month or so's time, and oh, I can see this is happening, I can see that is happening. And then the way that she said after she needed to speak to me because of all these things in my future, and it's going to be so important what's going to go on and things like that. And you know, that kind of worried me too. What's your thoughts about if our lives are predetermined before we're born, what exactly we're going to do, where we're going to live, what's going to happen to us, etc.?
Wow, we're jumping right in, aren't we? to some questions here. Yeah, well, of course, the Calvinists are pretty big on predestination as a kind of sect within the Protestant Church. I let me just quote Cassiopeians. This is the last epigraph quote that I have for my Mind Control History and Applications, part 6 of my series. Free will is the most important law in all of creation. And I agree with that. And I've studied mind control a lot now, and it would appear that the powers that be are very, very determined to reduce and eliminate not only our capacity of clairvoyance, and some 64% of people apparently have some ability. And this really bothers the powers that be. They don't like that. But then there's also this push, of course, to merge computers and humans in the brain with transhumanism. And so the elite would like to create a slave race, which has no free will. Let me give you a quote by Fritz Springmeier, of course, who wrote several books about the Illuminati. Said that over 2 million Americans have been programmed by trauma-based mind control since 1947, when the CIA was formed. And the CIA admitted its mind control publicly in 1970. And yet the existence of the mind control is still secret to the general public. So we now in the age when the elite has the ability to put voices in our heads, you know, with voice to skull, and they use this as a weapon, and they can use this to influence people and fool them. And we can get into Manchurian candidates, you know, such as, you know, Sirhan Sirhan and Lee Harvey Oswald, but also Manchurian channelers like Eileen Cady, who was the official head of the Findhorn New Age group, which was considered the Vatican City of the New Age movement back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. She wrote several books, and her she's hearing this voice that's claiming it's God. At first she didn't believe it, but she had a handler, Shino Govina, who was in British intelligence, who broke her down with, you know, all kinds of brainwashing methods to break her personality down so she'd accept this reality. Her first husband was in British intelligence. Her second husband was in American intelligence. So poor old Eileen Cady, who wrote many books, I think was probably just more or less taking dictation from some other person. So now the whole issue is much more confused. I mean, if we start to look at the list of possible Manchurian channelers, people who are channeling this or that or the other entity, could be Jesus, as in the case of Helen Schuckman at Columbia University, who wrote The Course of Miracles, thinking that it was Jesus, or saying that it was Jesus. But of course, it wasn't, because and she herself is a PhD psychologist at Columbia University, which is kind of a MK Ultra mind control center of the CIA. And of course, the Course in Miracles is absolutely heretical from a Christian point of view. So, yes, this is a very bizarre topic. Now we have you know, double, triple confusion. Who's speaking into the heads of these individuals, the people who hear voices? Well, in the 1991 Gulf War, the U.S., of course, likes to test all its new weapons and toys anytime we have a war, or even when we don't have a war, they'll test it on us, the American citizenry, and on others, as they're doing now with the gang stalking and electronic torture. But in 1991, Saddam Hussein's his army was ready to fight. And all of a sudden, they're all hearing voices in their head claiming to be Allah, saying, get on your knees, dismantle your weapons, and surrender. And they did, thinking that Allah was talking to them. And then what happens? The good old American military just mows them down and kills them and digs a mass grave and, you know, bulldozes them in.
And that was on Purim, I believe, as well, just to throw that in. That was Daddy Bush, George H.W. Bush. Please carry on, Eric.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, so obviously this has all been weaponized to the nth degree by the military and the intelligence agencies, because if you can, you know, put voices in people's heads, you know, and with this, I think, plays out, of course, in the mass shootings that we get, you know, the devil told me to do this. Well, you know, some voice in his head that said it was the devil told him to do it. But who knows what it was, because now we have, several possibilities. It could actually be. A demonic spirit talking, according to, you know, many, this does happen, or could now be also intelligence agencies masquerading as God or as the devil. So we're now in a very precarious position as human beings, where our free will, freedom to choose, is under great attack and threat. So to answer your question about predestination, that's a profound that's a profound question that, of course, theologians have been wrestling with for a long time, and that's really all I can say about that. That now we have intruded, technologically with these electronic weapons. In 1969 to 1970, the CIA had established computer to brain link ups, and they were experimenting with all these kinds of things before that. And subsequently, they've only refined the technology to do this kind of thing. They can insert images. They can insert little video clips. They can create a voice that sounds like your voice. They can create a voice that sounds like somebody else's voice. And, of course, if you watch the movie Control Factor, this is shown very vividly. And Dr. Ronnie Kilda, who herself was a target of gang stalking for some 30 years before finally they killed her, tortured her to death, she says this is probably the maybe single best movie to watch if you want to understand what's going on with this gang stalking thing. And yes, it is. It's also known as counterintelligence stalking. I call it GOG's new Gestapo for global organized gang stalking, neuro warfare. That's mind warfare. Groups, electronic surveillance, slavery, tracking, torture, and psyops. Operations, psychological operations. So all these technologies have been honed since World War II by the defense and the intelligence agencies, not only of America, but, you know, America, our CIA inherited its mandate and training actually from MI6 and the Tavistock Institute in Britain. And then as soon as World War II ended, the CIA was grafted onto the CIA was grafted the Galen organization of the Nazis. So what we have is a very international group that wants to take over the world. And we see this then with the synarchy, this rule by secret societies. And the secret societies are ruled by this process of theurgy, this possession. And now we have the option of possession by real demons or possession by, you know, the voices being introduced by, say, you know, somebody at his computer station in Colorado Springs who works for Air Force Base, you know, that sort of thing. So it's very complex. But what we're dealing with is different methods to control individuals. And it would seem that the elite is very, very concerned about controlling destiny of humans and historical events individually and as a group, and have worked on these two methods for controlling individuals psychologically. Of course, all the psychological operations is another vast topic. But mind control, psyops, cults, these are ways for elites to control the masses. And when I'm saying cults, you know, there's all kinds of cults. It has a root from culture, you know, so there are many fairly mild cults and, you know, that are perhaps not very harmful, but there are also many destructive cults. And of course, what gets interesting about this is when you're in a religion or a cult, in this case, it is very much wrapped up with your sense of identity. This is who you are now. And your cult leader then becomes your guru or whatever, and all power and money and sex to the guru. And then these cults then are perfect little totalitarian systems that the CIA and others can use for mind control experimentation. And this is what I think has been going on really in Crestone. I think it's a highly controlled community. I think there's a lot of mind control experiments and programs going on there. I think the CIA is very, very interested, and other agencies as well, including the United Nations. When the UN is all over this, Luciferian agenda. My studies just kept going and going down the deep, deep, deep rabbit holes. And of course, it was my studies that got me in touch with your book and Tex Mars and Constance Cumby, who also has written on the New Age, and all the books that I've read on mind control. It's been a tremendous education and very, very mind-blowing as well.
Thank you, Eric. And this would be for another show, but I don't know if this is an area that you've researched, but a lot of people on the internet are talking about this 5G coming in, and I would have thought this could lock in really nicely with gang stalking. Is this anything that you've looked into and anything that we should be very fearful of?
Well, yeah, I've been doing some shows also with Kev Baker of Truth Frequency Radio, and he has a guy named Anthony Patch who's always talking about this and the Internet of Things and how computers are going to take over. Well, I think this is what the elite wants. I think the 5G also could be a psyop in the sense that, they want us, and this is standard, Mossad or CIA tactics, they want us to give up. They want us to make us feel like they're so far ahead of us technologically that we don't have a chance. So this is the sense I get when I listen to Anthony Patch talk about this stuff. It's everything's run by computers, so humans don't have a prayer. Well, I disagree with that. I think that this 5G thing could just be another psyop. So I don't get too excited about it. I do think that free will is the most important law in the universe, like Cassiopeian said 5,000 years ago. And I do believe that God is on our side and that we will get support. And I think, having a Christian worldview is perhaps very beneficial in these times, because it gives you a support structure, not only, with divinity, but also with other humans. That allows you, I think, the best chance of surviving this. And this stuff is pretty evil. We get into trauma-based mind control that the CIA has used all these years, in their mind control. Well, that's just coming from satanic ritual abuse that, the Jews and others, cults have been doing for, forever. So what they've done is they've scientifically refined these techniques. But let me give you just a couple of different takes on this, because it is so vast and it's so, complex. First opinion I'd like to share is that of Tex Mars, our friend, and he's written four books about the New Age movement. And Tex is, of course, for those who don't know, he's a Christian preacher in Austin, Texas, who spent 22 years as an Air Force officer and has written some 60 or 70 books. He's researched the New Age, I think, as much as anybody. And he says all the New Age cults and religions are run by Jews. If we want to understand the New Age movement, we need to understand Judaism and the Kabbalah. The Holy Kabbalah is the root of all New Age false religions. The language
Just to jump in very quickly, Eric. Funnily enough, I was actually on the phone to Tex yesterday. So and just an update on Tex, folks. He's basically handed over power of prophecy to his staff, and he's still going to continue to write books, and he's going to do his Bible home church. But I think essentially he's taken a step back. He's you know, he's getting on. He had a health problem last year, and I spoke to both him and Wanda. It was really, really nice. So just a little update there from Tex. And as I said, you know, you once you're in this thing, you can never just retire. You're always going to have to do something. So he'll still be bringing his books out, and he'll still be, you know, on this show as and when he brings books out that he wants to do shows on. But back to you, Eric. I just thought I'd throw that in for the audience.
Yeah, well, you know, in his research, he found that, you know, so many of these New Age false religions were actually founded by Jews or by high-level Masons. And he and others argue that the Masons are basically a secret society, which is Judaism for Gentiles, based on all the, you know, Jewish Kabbalah, which of course, goes back to the ancient Babylon system of Satanism and black magic that the Jews adopted when they were, quote unquote, in their captivity, about 700 BC or whatever, in Babylon. So it's the Babylonian Talmud, and it's the Jewish Kabbalah, but it's coming from that era. And of course, it overlaps with the mystery religions of Egypt and also Greece. And so we're dealing with perhaps the oldest religion in the world, which is, you know, the worship of Satan. And the kind of black magic that you get in the Kabbalah is perhaps the most, the darkest and blackest of all the magic options out there. And so I will continue with text. He says that the Jewish religion is not the religion of the Old Testament. A Jewish man told me, "We Jews have a different concept of the Messiah than you. He's not God. We, the Jewish people, are going to become the Messiah. Yes, the Jews expect to be led by a man God, but they'll all be gods." That's his opinion. Now, let me give you a couple other opinions just to kind of, you know, cast a wider net here. Because that's not the only thing operating. It may be the fundamental. I think that's the master cult right there. But there's something, other things going on. It is difficult. This is according to Jim Keith, Mass Control Engineering Human Consciousness, 2003. It is difficult to overestimate the role of religion and occultism in the history of world control. This is one means by which zealots are molded who are unable to evaluate effectively. Okay, their judgment is clouded now. And who thus can be turned to the purposes of their controllers. In many religions or occult groups, the zombieism of the mind controlled is the entry fee. And the, quote, disposal problem, getting rid of the zombie, for getting rid of the victims of mind control is not so formidable, since cult members have often become disaffected with their former friends and family. You know, that's an interesting take. Now, he doesn't mention the Jews, but he talks about a similar dynamic. So obviously it's bigger than that. Here's David Spangler, United Nations Director of Planetary Initiative. No one will enter the New World Order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the New Age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation. Okay, this is coming right out of the UN. And, of course, Marie Strong, as I said, very, very high in the UN. So it shouldn't be surprising then to see that this underlying philosophy of the New Age movement is also very present in Creston, my little hometown. And then here's what Constance Cumby said, and she's written two books on the New Age movement. That precede Texas has a slightly different view. The heart of the New Age movement is old-fashioned Hindu occultism, which embodies the ancient lie of the serpent right out of the Garden of Eden. This promise of godhood that so captivated Eve continues to have an amazingly strong appeal for humanity today. Apart from the New Age-oriented theologians who have deliberately infused our churches and seminaries with New Age concepts, the vast majority of those in the New Age movement are there innocently. The lonely, the confused and bewildered, the young and naive, these are the prime targets for New Age organizers. Until proven otherwise, we should consider each of them to be a victim rather than a villain. I think this is a good perspective because there's so many idealists in Crestone that are drawn there by the idealism of it, and they're actually fooled. You know, this, like Lenin's phrase, they're kind of like useful idiots. They're easily molded and manipulated by these false religions. Here's another interesting comment that she makes, Constance Cumby. The New Age movement has the characteristics of a well-thought-out military operation patterned after Hitler's organization of his Third Reich. The Nazis featured a pagan-style battalion known as the SS. Similarly, there is a United States military private hybrid equivalent to this. The First Earth Battalion headed by Lieutenant Colonel Jim Channon. The Nazis, the high Nazis like Hitler, were actually occultists. The Thule Society and the Vril Society, and Hitler supposedly was chosen out of a found in a brothel, and he was brought along by his kind of Jewish advisor to play that role, and of course be the strong man in Europe that would sign the transfer agreement, set up a despotic military, and then kick the comfortable Jews out of Europe, or at least many of them, into Palestine, and that was kind of a long range plan. Okay, so she says millions of human beings are involved with the New Age movement in all its phases and levels of activity. We can remember the book by Marilyn Ferguson in the 70s. What's the name of that book?
I can look it up for you, and I'll bring the title up. Carry on there.
I just lost it. Marilyn, the Aquarian Conspiracy is what she called it. And even in that book, she said there's millions of people involved in this in all levels of society. So it's very well organized and funded. And this is what she says. And anybody can look at that book, and they have directories of New Age groups, et cetera. One of which, of course, was the People's Temple of Jim Jones. And we talked about that last week and how that cult was actually managed by the CIA. And was used for money laundering and drug smuggling and weapons sales and deposing foreign governments. And Jim Jones himself was an occultist who was mind controlling his parishioners, who in fact were actually working 16 to 18 hours a day in slave labor. So, you got the pretty face at the exterior, the smiley face, peace and love, but you don't have to look very deep beneath the surface to realize that the reality is quite different. Constance Cumby says, there is absolutely no way one can competently research the New Age movement and not discover that its major purpose is bringing in a new world order headed by the Antichrist. And that's from Constance Cumby's book, A Planned Deception, The Staging of a New Age Messiah. Okay, now let me shift gears a little bit. And as I did in this extended series of articles, I looked at mind control, et cetera, and read many books about that. This is by Victor Marchetti and John Marks, The Cult of Intelligence, 1974. There exists in our nation today a powerful and dangerous secret cult, the Cult of Intelligence. Its holy men are the clandestine professionals of the Central Intelligence Agency. Its patrons and protectors are the highest officials of the federal government, its membership extending far beyond government circles. Okay, and then we get to Alex Constantine, another one of my hero researchers, like Jim Keith, who wrote Virtual Government, CIA Mind Control Operations in America, 1997. He said, in the mid-1960s, Langley, where the CIA headquarters are, Langley's spycologists, that's a good, I've also heard spycatrists, feared exposure because they'd been doing their MKUltra experiments since 53 and others even going back earlier. Newspaper reporters had caught wind of Auschwitzian behavioral modification research funded by the government. Congress was asking questions. The CIA thugs at Langley scratched their heads. It was only a matter of time before an inquisitive reporter exposed the rot of mind control. The solution? CIA scientists bugged out of the laboratory. The experiments were moved into the community, like Cresto, hidden like flying saucers in plain sight. Eccentric religious groups were organized or co-opted by intelligence operatives, including the People's Temple, the Symbionese Liberation Army, for people who can remember back to the early 70s and Patty Hearst, Ordo Templi Orientis, OTO, which is supposedly the modern extension of the Illuminati, the Finders, the pedophile CIA group, Solar Temple, and the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh movement, among others. And then I've added, we can add the McMartin preschool pedophilia scandal mind control operation in L.A. And then another sentence, just to get the kind of the stand back and get the mosaic here. We talk about Aleister Crowley. Here's a guy who was a Cambridge graduate who climbed mountains all over the world and was actually part of the British elite, who then, got deeply into the occult and called himself the Beast and 666 and all this stuff. And he did all these occultic things and, you know, the most evil man in the world and all that stuff. And here, as Crowley himself said, it is the belief apart from any underlying reality which causes the overlords at the levers of establishment power to mold the world we inhabit and condition us by the molding, as Clark, A.C. Clark, the author, forecast in his book Childhood's End, to eventually accept the open, undisguised rule of Satan himself. And I would add to that that, you know, this perhaps is what's going on when all these false matrix, false reality matrix we get, like these goofy operations like 9/11, you know, saying that Osama bin Laden and 19 goat herders from Saudi Arabia took down the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and foiled the greatest military intelligence establishment in the history of the world. I mean, that's so absurd that, you know, you have to do this logical paradox to even, you know, to even get through the day. But global warming, same thing. So we're barraged with these ridiculous stories that are putting us in a false reality matrix. And I think this is quite deliberate. And this perhaps also explains a lot of what the military is doing with their information operations, their perception management, and their social engineering. This is, again, to engineer this new world order, that we've talked about it. And then one final little conclusion. This is out of my own writing, based on a couple timelines that are given, one by Dave McLowery, who wrote a book about Scientology, which is a cult that completely comes out of British intelligence, and but also American intelligence. L. Ron Hubbard was Office of Naval Intelligence, and he's the founder. And so I kind of conclude near the end of my chapter 9 or part 9, the New Age movement is managed by British and American intelligence and the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations. Clearly, we need to expand our definition of cults to include the multifarious organizations, religions allied with the master cult that also have as their chief goal the subjugation of the entire world through any and all means. We can now discern that Judaism in particular is the magical, diabolical master cult, the synagogue of Satan. Let's see. And then I just kind of waxed a little poetic here. Those readers old enough to remember MI6 agent Ian Fleming's James Bond books and movies will recall that the heroic Bond, who was 007 agent in Her Majesty's Secret Service, constantly battled to save the world against the likes of Spectre or Smirch or some such cabal of psychopaths.
We could use it now, couldn't we? With Barbara Lerner Spectre, couldn't we, Eric?
Pardon me?
I said we could use him now with regard to Barbara Lerner Spectre, couldn't we, Eric?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Barbara Lerner Spectre, she's the woman who basically calls for Sweden to be multicultural and we Jews are going to be behind all this and we're going to be resented for this fact and et cetera, et cetera. But if Sweden won't accept it, then Sweden won't survive.
Right, right. Yeah, well, of course, it has extended. But to make this analogy continue, now we know that this cover story protected just the opposite reality. In fact, 007 from John Dee, who actually this Kabbalist astrologer, geographer, who was the advisor to Queen Elizabeth in the 1500s, his original moniker was 007. And he's the model then for, Gandalf and, in the trilogy, whatnot, and Dumbledore and all kinds of modern wizards, because he looked like a wizard. But 007, of course, James Bond. We know that 007 and their bosses are those psychopaths who have nurtured diabolical aspirations and covertly developed the technologies to rule the world. Forget the Greys and the UFOs. They are just another cover story. Rather, it seems that, quote, British Israel, a.k.a. Judeo-Masonic Satanism, is the master cult, the most powerful and dangerous cult of all. Many modern authors attribute all evil to the infiltration of America by the Nazis after World War II, and I quote some people. This is another vast subject, and there is clear evidence that at the upper level, Nazis colluded with the synagogue of Satan and have comprised and still comprise an integral part of that system. However, my impression at this point, but anyway, so this is the system. It's international. And, we can go on and on telling stories here because there's so many. This has been a push, you know. It's in the community. People are paid to go in the community and organize little small groups to study this, that, and the other. And so much of it comes back to Helen Blavatsky of the Theosophical Society in the 1800s, who was a Ukrainian Jewish spy and occultist. This is all occult. You see, occult is hidden, means hidden. And then Alice Bailey and all these New Age movements. But even that theosophy is based on the Jewish Kabbalah. So we go back and we trace it back to that. But you're an expert at this, Andy, so please jump in.
Well, thanks, Eric. What I thought I might do, because my joke didn't work because you hadn't heard of Barbara Lerner Spector, but the clip is only about 1 minute long, and it's one of the most famous things in nationalism, really. Essentially what it was from a documentary that was followed her around Sweden, I understand, but it was an Israeli documentary, and it was never supposed to get out to the goyim, as they say. So let me mute us both, and I'm going to play you this so you can hear what she says. And I consider this as a threat at the end, where she says, and if they won't accept that transformation, they won't survive. And you can tell us your thoughts on it from a gang stalking perspective.
Brothers and such.
As we heard, there are people in Sweden who support Israel and have a deep sense of the injustice of the present situation. It's these people who give hope to those who still believe that things will get better here. One of them is Barbara Spector, a former American who made Aliyah and then, 10 years ago, with the help of the government of Sweden, set up a non-denominational institute of Jewish learning with the Greek name of Paideia, here in Stockholm. She believes the current wave of anti-Semitism in Sweden will pass, and that Jews have an important role to play in a country undergoing profound change.
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
There you go, Eric. Any comments on that?
Well, she did use the word "our," so obviously she is Jewish. This is a kind of didactic attitude, which is this is going to happen, whether you like it or not. In fact, this is very characteristic also of the New Age movement, which is, you have to get on board the plan. You don't question the plan. This is the plan. It's written down, in the Great Invocation and elsewhere, and, probably in the Protocols of Zion elsewhere, if you want to read more about it. But this is the New Age plan, and, it's not negotiable. So you're in the movement, this is the plan, and we're going to make it work, or else you're out. So, and this attitude of, up with the winners or down with everybody else, very, very characteristic. I have to tell a couple stories here, and I think that's a very good clip. I'm glad you shared that, because they are quite honest now about what the intent is. And we need to just say, go to hell, because that's where they're taking us. We need to tell this woman, go get back down in that pit where you belong. She sounds so sweet and intelligent, but she's very evil. I was in Crestone at one of many, little talks at the local building, and Barbara Marx Hubbard, who was actually in the Earth First Battalion, also Jewish, came and gave a talk, and she's kind of a famous New Age figure. And she was talking about how, a new species of man, Homo novus or noetic, Homo noeticus, is now breaking away from the old species. And the old species, the unevolved of us, are going to have to be eliminated. And, you know, according to the Earth First Battalion, you know, and her own books, you don't have to worry about deciding who's going to survive and not. But we've made that decision for you. We will take care of this odious task of eliminating the unevolved. Well, you can figure who the unevolved are in that mindset. The unevolved would be the, you and me, the Christians and others who are not in their group of, you know, super souls, which they would regard as themselves, Jews and their pals or people they're willing to take on as servants or whatever. So I'm at this, it must be 150 Crestonians are listening with bated breath to every word she says. And she's leading everybody in a meditation and all this stuff. And everybody's kind of ooh and ah and om and whatnot. And then I raised my hand and I said, well, you know, the biologists say that, you know, a species is defined as, you know, members of the species can breed and create a fertile offspring. And, you know, can't these two different species you're talking about breed and create fertile offspring? In other words, do you really have two different species? She didn't like that question. It was a little too grounded in reality for her. See, all of this is just nonsense. This is all Kabbalistic nonsense that they are trying to convince us of. Let me tell you another story here, Andy, also directly related to Crestone. In the 80s, I bought my land in 94, so I would have heard these stories. There was a woman, apparently a professor of something or other at a small college, who was, pretty upscale, you know, gave PowerPoints and everything. And she went around. She'd been in contact with, via her computer with this group of entities from the Pleiades, the constellation of the Pleiades. And these entities supposedly were called Pleiadians. And the Pleiadians were advising her, and she was advising everybody else, that humans were about to destroy the Earth, and we, you know, we're all going to die unless we invited them to come down and save us. So in order to accomplish this, what they suggested is that she and her pals go to Crestone, Colorado, my little town, and build a 300-foot pink granite pyramid, 300-foot tall, which would then, you know, give the magnetic energies that would allow these Pleiadians to come down to the Earth and save us all. Okay, well, you know, fortunately, probably for humanity, we had a little property owners association in Crestone that had a rule that says you can't have a building with that's higher than 30 feet. So they rejected the plan for a 300-foot pink granite pyramid. But what's interesting about this story, and so there was a lot of talk in those days about Pleiadians and Arcturians, you know, coming to save the planet from all the environmental destruction. That phase kind of came and went. But I was talking to a friend who recently, and she was in Venezuela about that time in the 80s, and there were people coming into the community of Caracas. And they were studying the works of Helen Blavatsky and of the Theosophical Society and Alice Bailey. And they were talking about the Pleiadians. And they were talking about having the Pleiadians come to save us from environmental destruction and all this nonsense. So, in other words, our communities are being infiltrated. Somebody's paying for this. Somebody's paying for this perception management to get the people primed and ready to accept the what looks like the Antichrist kingdom. And so I really appreciate your little video clip, because that was very, very direct and honest about the plan.
Thank you, Eric. And we've only got a couple of minutes left. So is there anything else you want to throw out there for the audience before we go?
Well, I would say that this is a vast subject, mind control and cults and the New Age movement. And I would refer them to my two websites, 911nwo.com under mind control and cults section and the New World Religion ? As well as my gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com website, which has similar headings, and these articles are on there. There's we're scratching the surface. These are enormous topics, and although they don't get much play in the mainstream media, they get some, and we're always getting examples of these crazy false religions, and a lot of people are being hoodwinked, to use the Masonic word, into participating. And I think a lot of innocent people are being hoodwinked. So I think our mission here is to try to shine some light on these things. And I appreciate the opportunity, Andy, to try to do that.
Thank you, Eric. Can you also give the audience your other websites that you have available? Of course, folks, these are going to be, I always put all of Eric's websites in the posts for the shows that we do, but run through the other three, please.
Yeah, well, you know, my experience as a physical geography professor brought me into the world of past climates. So I'm, you know, very, very aware that, you know, global warming fraud is kind of the center of the environmental fraud, which is the United Nations way to sell all this New World Order stuff. And so my very, very large site on this subject is naturalclimatechange.org. Also, there's in the San Luis Valley where Maurice Strong landed, he tried to export potentially trillions of dollars worth of fresh water. This is a Canadian, mind you, without a high school diploma, to Denver. So we're sitting right there where I live in Crestone on top of one of the largest freshwater aquifers in North America. So I have a website on that called SanLuisValleyWaterWatch.com. And then I have my musical website, which is EricCarlstrom.com. Music helps, I think, the spirit. And so I'll just keep countering this bad news with pleasant music. I'm coming out with a gospel CD this spring, Andy. So, yeah.
Excellent. And we played some of Eric's music on the show. So please, if you like Eric's contribution to this show, please support him financially. Go and buy some of his music at ericcarlstrom.com. There's a link in the post for this show. I want to thank Eric for joining me today. I want to thank you all for listening. I'll be back with you all tomorrow. And bye for now.
You have been listening to the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show on the Eurofolk Radio Network. Andrew's book, The Synagogue of Satan, is now available on his website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com, in an updated, expanded, and uncensored edition.